Welcome everybody to another Thursday night Rambam Pirush Mishnayos here. This week we're at mitzvah number 20. I believe 29. Mitzvah number 29. Mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh. Oh no, I'm sorry, 30. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh. My apologies. Taking off the ashes from the mizbeach. So let's, as always, we'll see the Rambam first. We'll see what he says, and we'll get some halacha. And then some of the underlying meaning behind this mitzvah. So first, let's take a look. Says the Rambam. Here we are. He shenitztavu. We have been commanded. Hakohanim. The Kohanim have been commanded. Lahasir hadeshen is to remove the ashes bechol yom, every single day. So now the ashes are the only place that has ashes in the Beis Hamikdash is on the main mizbeach, the large mizbeach that is all the karbanos are brought on. So we have to take off the ashes every single day. And that's what's called the Trumas Hadesh, which means the removal of the ashes. So Amri is Barach, Hashem said this in Velovash HaKohen Midobad. The Kohen will wear his linen garments, the Heirimes Hadesh, and he'll carry out the ashes. This mitzvah has already been taught in Maseches Tamid and Maseches Yuma. So now this mitzvah is literally ashes. There were ashes after a whole day. Let's say today is Thursday. So after a whole day on Thursday that we've been bringing karbanos from Tamid Shal Shachar all the way till Tamid Shal Ben Harabayim. So there are a lot of things that we're burning on Mizbeach. And sometimes those carried over through the night that they had to burn different parts of the animals overnight. By the time the morning came, one of the things that had to be done was they had to clear out the Mizbeach, and they had to do this Trumas Hadeshen. So this is essentially taking ashes from whatever was burned yesterday and taking it off today. So now let's first again see the Pasuk that the Rambam quotes, and we'll see there's actually two kind of mitzvahs that are intertwined, and there's a difference between the Rashi, where Rashi says I'm Chumash, and the Rambam, how he understands this mitzvah, and then we'll get into the kind of the underlying understanding. So it says that this is a pasuk in Parshas Tzav. It's really literally at the beginning. By Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemar, Hashem will say to Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, "Tzavis Aaron as bun of Lemar, command Aaron and his sons." Is those Torahs HaOla? This is the Ola. This is the laws of the Ola. He HaOla Al Mokdal Mizbech Kol Alayla Raboker VeEishem Mizbech Tu Karbo. That the Ola has to be burned on the Mizbech, and It'll be burning, whatever is left over is going to be burning on the Mizbeach overnight, and there should be a fire on it as well. And the Kohen will wear his linen garments, and he will wear his linen, the linen pants. The Heirimes Hadeshen, he will raise it up, he will take out the ashes from whatever was left over of the Ola on the Mizbeach. The Samo Eitzel HaMizbeach, and we'll put it next to the Mizbeach. Okay, so this is, he picks up some of the ashes. It doesn't pick up everything. Rather, it's almost like a scoopful. We'll see a little bit more detail momentarily. And he puts it on the side. Okay. And then what it says next is Ufashad as Begadav. He will remove his clothes. Velovash Begadim Acherim. And he will wear other clothes. Vehotzi as Hadeshen al Mechutz Lamachane. El Makom Tahar. He will take the Deshen outside of the camp. El Makom Tahar, to a pure place. And then comes the puzzle that we saw yesterday, last week, I should say, about the mitzvah of having a fire on the Mizbeach all the time. So this is the mitzvah. We have two parts to this mitzvah. There's two things that are said here. Whether it's one mitzvah or two separate mitzvahs, we'll get a little bit of an insight right now. But clearly the pasuk says two things. First thing is that the Kohen has to go ahead and he has to be on the Mizbeach, the Heirimes Hadeshen, and he has to remove it. The Samo Eitel HaMizbeach. He puts it next to the Mizbeach. And then he changes his clothes and does another thing called Hotzah Hadeshen. So first is the Trumas Hadeshen, is the separating. And then there's the Hotzah Hadeshen, is taking it out. In our mitzvah, the Rambam only makes mention Lahasir Hadeshen b'chol yom me'al gabei ha-mizbeach. All it says is taking it off each day from on the mizbeach. V'hu nikras Trumas Hadeshen, that's the concept of the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. It does not mention, does not tell us about taking it out. But here in the pasuk we see differently. Definitely a different mitzvah. Now, this mitzvah of separating and putting it next to the mizbeach, that was a mitzvah that had to happen every single day. What about taking it out of the machane, cleaning hotzias hadeshen al mechutz la machane al makom tahor? When did that happen? How often? Let's take a look at Rashi and Chumash. Rashi says, the Hotzi Esedesh, it's right here on the side. Hatzavur batapuach. There's all the ashes that were piled up, okay, that were heaped up. The Ein Makom la'amaracha, and there was no space for the ma'aracha. Motzio misham, he takes it away from there. Okay, so now this pasuk that we read in pasuk gimel, the ashes over here are talking about specifically the ashes of the ola. The ola was the last sacrifice that was burnt the day before, and in the morning you're going to be taking off of the ashes from that animal and taking it off the mizbeach. In this pasuk of v'hotzi es hadesh el michutz lamachane, in the next pasuk where we say you're taking the ashes out of the camp, says Rashi, that's talking about Hatzavar Batapuach. It's not talking about the same stuff in number three. We're talking about we're back on the Mizbeach, and there's a pile of ashes of just stuff that is accumulated. That is what has to be taken out of the Mizbeach, out of the Machan, out of the camp. And says Rashi, the Ein Zechova L'chol Yom. That's not a Chova every single day. The mitzvah, the concept of Hotza'as HaDeshen, taking the Deshen, taking the ashes out of the Mizbeach, that was not a daily commandment. That was not a daily responsibility. Aval HaTruma, Chova b'chol yom. But the truma, taking off just a little bit, which is our mitzvah, that had to be done every day. So now we're zoom out a little bit. We have a little bit of a better picture of what's going on now. There was lots and lots of ashes that accumulated on the Mizbeach. Every single day, the Kohen had to go ahead and from the things that finished burning, being burnt last night, he takes off a little of the ashes and puts it next to the Mizbeach. It's a certain place in the Azara inside the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say once a month or whatever it was, whenever the Kohanim felt, okay, there's not enough space over here on the Mizbeach, the ashes that are on the Mizbeach are just overloading. So let's clean it out. Let's put it out. Let's take it out. Michutz l'machane el makom tahar. That's the third pasuk. We'll take it out of the camp to a pure place. That is the mitzvah that's how Rashi understands the process over here. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Okay, we have the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Now we're going to see a Rambam in Yad HaChazak, in his Mishnah Torah. Okay, I don't know. I'm surprised that I thought that it would have English over here, but apparently it does not. So you have to bear with me. But says the Rambam as follows. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Tmidim Umusafin. This is the halachos that the Rambam writes regarding the Karban Tamid, which was brought one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and Karban Musaf, which was brought on Rosh Chodesh or Yomim Tovim or Shabbos, those kinds of days. So says, here he talks about the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin. Yeah, he says, Emasai Tarban Hadeshin Bechol Yom. What's the time that you actually do and fulfill the process of Trumas Hadeshin? Says the Rambam, Mishi Ya'ale Amud HaShachar. As soon as Amud HaShachar comes up, the light that it's sunrise, that's the, or Alos, I should say, not sunrise yet, it's Alos. It's, the sun is starting to just to peek over the horizon. So that is the time that you start cleaning off the Mizbeach with this Trumas Hadeshin. Uber regalim, if it's the shalosh regalim, if it's for Pesach, Sukkot, or Shavuos, so then mitchilas shlish and tzayish alayla. It's from the third part of the beginning of the third part of the night. The night's 12 hours. You've split up into three parts. You have 4 hours each. The third section, you do it a little earlier because now you're going to have a lot of things to do. Be Yom Kippurim, mechatzos halayla, and chatzos you're already doing the trumas hadesh. Each one of those things has just a calculation. Almost mathematically, why it had to be earlier. Now, Ketzad Tarmin, how do you do the Truma? Misha Zacha Litro, the person who merited taking the Truma, if you remember, we saw in the past that the way they would decide who did which service in the Beis HaMikdash was they would have a go roll, they would have a lottery. All the Kohanim would stick out either one finger or two fingers, and then there was the Kohen in the middle. He would, think of a number in his head, and then he would count the fingers, and whoever's finger landed on, that's how that person would get the opportunity to do certain jobs. So it was Misha Zacha Litrom Tovel, he goes to the mikvah. The Lovish Bigde Harama, he wears the garments that he's going to use to do the truma, to take the separation. What are the pasuk says, Michnesei Bad and Mido Bad, it's going to be his linen garments. Makadesh Yadav Araglav, he now washes his hands and feet. But Omrim Lo, he's Zahir. Tell him, be careful. Make sure you don't touch anything until you've washed your hands. Then he takes a pan. This pan was made out of silver. It was on the western side of the ramp going up to the Mizbeach. And it was on the edge between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach. There was a little bit of a gap and you got to the top, so it's off to the side. The note less hamachta, he would take it, but Ola Larosh HaMizbeach, he would go onto the Mizbeach, Umefana es HaGecholim Eilach Ve'Eilach, and he would disperse the coals left and right, the Chotam en HaGecholim Shenes Aklu, and he would then take take coals that were really boiled up, B'Lev Ha'esh, in the heart of the fire, the Yored Lamata La'aretz, and he would take these coals, and he would go down the ramp. The Hofech Pan of Letzafon, he would turn towards the north, Umahalich ba'aret l'mizrach ha'kevesh k'maser amos klapei ha'tzafon. They would walk about 10 amos. V'tzoveres ha'gicholam shechotal gabei haritzba. And he would pile these coals that he gathered onto the floor. Rochok min ha'kevesh shlosha tfachim is about 3 tfachim away from the kevesh, from the ramp. V'makom shenosnin muras ha'ok v'dishon ha'mizbeach ha'pnimah ha'menorah. So there is the same place that they would put the muras ha'ok. I believe we talked about this in the past. When a woman gave birth to a child, she would bring two birds, and the halacha was any bird that was born on the mizbeach, the muraso, the crop of the bird, the stomach of the bird, would not be burned on the mizbeach. Everything else would be burned, but the kohen would almost slice the bird in half, take out the insides, and throw it away, because we didn't want the birds eat from stolen items. And Hashem said, stolen items don't belong on my mizbeach. They fly around, they eat from anything. So therefore Hashem said, don't put the animals, the bird's stomach on my mizbeach. So that was taken, and the Kohen would throw it off the mizbeach. And as soon as it landed, it got swallowed up into the ground. This is the same place that the Kohen was going with these coals. The dishon mizbeach hapnimi, and when he would clean off the inside mizbeach from the ketores, the hamenorah, and when he cleaned out the menorah, all of the things that he cleaned out from all these situations all came to this very same spot. So this mitzvah of taking out these coals and putting it on the floor next to the mizbeach, that was a mitzvah every single day. Okay, that's first. So now he's taken that's the Trumas Hadeshen. It's done. After he's done, what happens? Rotzim echov hakehanim. Now anybody else, all these other kohanim would run. They would quickly wash their hands and feet. And what would they do? They would run up to the mizbeach with rakes and shovels. Anything that was not fully burned the night before would be put to the side, because those limbs can't be taken off the mizbeach. They do have to be fully burned. But for now, they'd be put to the side. Okay, and if there's no time, if there's no space, there's too many, so they would put it on the side. And then they would sweep up the entire mizbeach top, make sure there was no ashes on it. They would put it onto this big pile and take that entire pile of ashes into some, like a copper pot. It would hold a tremendous amount. And they would take all the ashes off the mizbeach, and they would take it down. And okay, that was it was beautiful for the mizbeach that people should see that there was so much out there, there's so much ashes on the mizbeach. But the bottom line is, says the Rambam, that every single day they would clean off the entire mizbeach. Any ashes that accumulated on the mizbeach from the day before, says the Rambam, achar sheyorad zeshetarim, after the guy did trumas hadeshen, immediately everybody would clean all the ashes off the mizbeach, and that would be hotzas hadeshen. Okay, the Rambam keeps on going. We don't have to see everything, every single detail about the next parts of the Rambam, but the bottom line is the Rambam is arguing on Rashi. Rashi says the mitzvah of hotzas hadeshen, taking the ashes out, was only once in a while, whenever the kohanim felt, almost at their own discretion. Whereas the Rambam says, nope, this is a daily exercise that they had to do. So now that's a very basic halacha. You see the system, what time it occurred is at halos, is the first thing in the morning, and it was preparing essentially the mizbeach to get it ready to be for the next day's service. And the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, whether removing all the ashes was a daily occurrence or once upon a time or once in a while, all of these are the halachas. There's not many other halachas that are relevant to this. We see that the Kohen had to wear mechnesei bad. He had to wear his linen clothes. And if you noticed in the pasuk, when it right before it says v'hotzas hadeshen, The pasuk says, "Ufashatas begadav." He removes his clothes. V'lomavash begadav macherim. He takes out other clothes because carrying all the ashes out of the machane could get very dirty, and he didn't want to get his big day kahuna dirty. So there's special clothes that he would wear that it was okay if they got dirty, and therefore he would wear those separately as well. Okay, but that is it. That is it for the halachos of the mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh. But now we have to ask ourselves the following question. A couple of very basic, simple questions that we can ask ourselves regarding this mitzvah. The first one is pretty standard, and that is that I don't understand. How many, you know, when I was once talking to my wife, and she was, we were discussing things about the Beis HaMikdash, whatever, she was asking me questions, and she stops and she says, who was responsible to clean them as the Beis HaMikdash? I'm like, you know, I think that, you know, it's a fair question. Yeah. Now, there had to be some sort of cleaning crew. The Kohanim and the Levim obviously pitched in. That was part of the Levi's job. But if you think about it, this is just, it's a janitorial service almost. It's a job to clean the Mizbeach. Why is this a mitzvah? This is a big deal. This is something that the Rambam and the Torah felt it. Make sure you know about this. It doesn't tell, you know, the Gemara says that when it came to Korban Pesach, what the Kohanim would do was there used to be these drains in the floor of the Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash. And what they would do is they would plug up the drains Erev Pesach. That way, when they would shecht all the animals that all the entire Jewish nation would bring for their Korban Pesach, all the blood would pile up and it would be ad karsu lehem bedam. The Kohanim would be up to their ankles in blood. And it was a way to show that they loved the mitzvah, even though it was, you know, bloody and whatever it was, they still loved doing the mitzvah of shechting the Korban Pesach. It was just a sign. Now, can you imagine when they had to unplug the drain, blood everywhere, they had to wash that off? That's an unbelievable process to clean up from. So that's not, there's no mitzvah that says that, okay, don't forget to bring your mop and clean up the Beis HaMikdash. So what is it? Why is it that removing the ashes is, whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs or it's one combined mitzvah doing it every single day or intermittently, whatever it might be, why is this something such a great thing that's considered a mitzvah? The other question is, that why would there be two parts to this mitzvah? Why can't it be simply just take it ashes, whether it's all or some, and take it out of the machane, as opposed to going ahead, so we'll focus specifically on the Rambam, because that's why we're here, is that the Rambam says, first you have to take the coals down, put them on the side, and then everybody else, all the other Kohanim would run up to the Mizbeach, and they would go and take all those ashes out. Why? There's a whole process just for these two things. Why can't it be all combined into one? Just, you know, take everything off. You want to put it down for a second, put it down, and then take everything out all at once. Why one big flow? Why does it have to be that it's such a delineated system, a delineated process? So Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch and Parshas Tzav, unfortunately, Safariya does not have, they have on Breishis, but they do not have on Vayikra, the Rav Hirsch on Chumash. They don't have that in their library. So you'll have to just take my word for it. You can look it up. It's a really beautiful piece. But he says a very enlightening idea. And he says that what we have to understand when we serve Hashem is that our avoda begins with the avoda of the day before. We don't start today as if we never existed. There is no history. There's no previous, nothing. We're here today because of whatever we did the day before. We are building upon all the things that we have began from yesterday. All the things that we started with, all the things that we tried to do, all the things that we thought about the day before, today is our opportunity to build and to grow on those things. Chazal tell us that we're like midgets on the shoulders of giants, right? What does that mean, midgets on the shoulders of giants? Whether we're short or tall, it's not the idea. We have the giants of the previous generations. So even though giants of the previous generation are far taller than the midgets of this generation, we're not in it alone. We're not in it by ourselves. We're not just living here as midgets on our own. We're on their shoulders. So we're even higher than them. And therefore, we have tremendous things to build on. Taking the Trumas Hadesh, a daily public gesture of going ahead, taking some of the ashes that was on the Mizbeach from the day before and putting that in a special spot, that was a sign of yesterday's avodah was tremendously special. Yesterday's service was unique, was powerful, was exceptional. And therefore, we have that. Let's take a look. Let's remember it. This is what we did yesterday. And we take that little amount. We put it on the side of the Mizbeach. Here's what we did yesterday. This is what we grew on. This is what we're going to build on. However, once that's done, It's now time to get ready for today. We can't only live in the past. The past is there as a guidance for us. The past is there for us to gain some energy or some direction, whatever it might be, but that is not the end game. The end game is what we do today and what we can accomplish right now. Each day has its own opportunities. Each day has its own new things, and we have to use the time that we have today to grow and build on that. So therefore, then only after the first step of acknowledging and reminding ourselves we're building on what we did yesterday, do we say, okay, now it's time to push all that aside and let's do today's job. Let's do today's avodah. Let's clear the entire mizbeach and let's begin and do what we're supposed to. So the Kohen therefore removed all the ashes that had built up from the day before, took it all the way out. He didn't just put it next to the mizbeach. It was chutz l'machane. It was all the way out of the machane where it was gone. Nobody could see it anymore. Okay, that's not housekeeping. You have to, you know, when you throw out the trash, you put it outside and everybody can see it. Everybody knows we have trash. But this was all the way out chutz l'machane because that is something that is showing us that it's separate from today. Today we have our own things and therefore it's special. So what we see from here, what we see from the Rambam, the way he describes and understands the two mitzvahs or the different parts of the Truma Sadeshin and the Hotzah Sadeshin, separating the Truma and taking it therefore out of the Machana, out of the camp. This is Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch's understanding. Taking off that little piece at the beginning, that's showing us and acknowledging the work that we did yesterday. Today, showing us that what we did yesterday was special, was going to last. It's something that'll last forever. And that's what we're going to build on for today. But for today, we have to clear aside, to put it away, move aside all the things that we did yesterday and begin fresh and begin new with whatever we have yesterday, looking in the rearview mirror almost. We're looking back and saying, okay, I know what's behind me. Now I can go ahead and take that step forward. So just to recap what we have today, again, we have the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin, says the Rambam, is to tell us that you have to take off some of the ashes and put it on the side of the Mizbeach. We saw that there's an extension, a second part of this, of Hotzah Hadeshin, taking the ashes outside of the Machana entirely. We have a Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam, whether that was a daily occurrence. The Rambam says that that happened every single day. Rashi says that was once in a while. And therefore, and now we have a little bit of a deeper understanding of what the idea is. This was not a housekeeping job. This was not just a janitorial service to keep the Mizbeach clean. Rather, it was a very symbolic idea of our values, of how we view our past and our present and what we can do to move forward. Trumas Hadeshin, the mitzvah that we're talking about, Trumas Hadeshin, that's to acknowledge, recognize, and hold precious all the previous service that we've done and all the things that we've began with. And that's going to be our springboard to continue and to grow further. And then the next day, when we clear the Hotzah Sadeshin, we clear everything out, we take it out of the Machana somewhere far, far away, because it's not throwing it out, it's not just trash. Putting it aside, it's a sacred, it's a special, special thing, but it goes all the way out so we can start moving forward today with whatever challenges and whatever opportunities come our way. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. Otherwise, thank you all for coming.
So I vote that this really applies to the Ola. Is that
so
correct?
So the Trumas Hadeshin would be specific to the ashes from the Ola. That's right.
Okay. So is the Torah trying to tell us something about the Ola and how it gets completely used up, but there's this, it doesn't get completely used up because there's the deshin, somehow the whole process doesn't end when the fire goes out, it continues. It's sort of like Rav Hirsch said, but that the korban itself, I'm just thinking out loud, is the process of saying it just doesn't end. It continues, and there's a reason for the Ola. We don't really understand it exactly. Is this something that, am I off base or is this,
not at all. I mean, the korban ola are the bookends of every single day's service, right? This is the korban tamid shel shachar, the tamid that was born in the morning, and the tamid shel bein harbayim, the tamid in the afternoon, which is shachar sin mincha. Essentially, those are the bookends of any service that was done on the actual mizbeach, and those were korban ola, and that was fully burned. And you're definitely right that the fact that they're fully burned signifies that there's something that is entirely kadosh, But you know, similar to what Rav Hirsch is saying, we have something that continues that that we can still do for tomorrow, that we're building on that which we did the day before. So definitely, I'd say that that's the case. Interestingly enough, with the Gemara asks if a non-Jew is allowed to bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Gemara says yes. A non-Jew, the Gemara has a drasha. It includes says ish ki yakriv karbano. It says any person, man, any man. So therefore, we know even a non-Jew. And the Gemara says, what kind of carbon can a non-Jew bring? The only carbon that he can bring is a carbon ola. Why is that? Why specifically a carbon ola? Because a carbon ola is the only sacrifice that's entirely burned. Everything else is partially burned, but some things are eaten by the owner. So the concept of Judaism is that spirituality is not supposed to be devoid of physicality. We're not hermits that live on a mountain, being celibate or not eating, things like that. Rather, our understanding is that we should take the physicality and raise it up and turn it into a spiritual endeavor. But the general concept of religion in the non-Jewish world is, well, there's religion, there's spirituality, and then there's physicality, and those two are separate things. You can be totally spiritual and you're isolated and keep yourself special only for God, or you can be a regular person who eats and drinks like the rest of the world. But the two are separate. So because that's their understanding, so the way they serve Hashem, the way they can understand to serve Hashem is by giving Hashem something that they don't have for any part, they don't partake from. It's all for Hashem. I don't eat stuff from the same table as Hashem. So therefore they burn it. So that would imply that the carbon ola is something that is very, very holy. It's cool to Hashem. It's all for Hashem. It's an entire service. So whatever we have in the past, that's all. Hashem's got it all. He knows everything that we've had in the past and all those things. Like that Gemara that Rav Hirsch says that, we're like midgets on the shoulders of giants. I know Hashem knows that they were giants. And he knows we're midgets too, but we're on their shoulders. We're growing. We keep it moving.
I like the it's very, very kind of powerful. I can't say I didn't have a question, but the idea of obviously you simultaneously kind of commemorate and acknowledge and build on what you did the previous day, but yet also you have this concrete act of, okay, that was yesterday. Now I'm moving forward. I mean, it seems like obviously an ola and a sacrifice. Ashes are obviously something that completely positive, but sort of the idea of okay, what was yesterday? That's today. I've set that aside. There's a nod to yesterday's activities and build on those and move on. So it seems like it's kind of a very healthy balance.
So. Yeah. Even on the let's call it the negative side, so to speak, meaning we make a mistake. We have to acknowledge the mistake. We have to recognize that we did it. But our job is not to get stuck in that past. Okay, now let's move forward. What do we do as a result of that mistake? How do we accommodate for it? How do we improve on it? That kind of thing. We give a nod to what happened. And we don't forget about it. We don't pretend like it didn't happen. We also don't get stuck there. We move forward.
Very powerful. So the word like litrom, so does that from a grammatical standpoint, does that mean purely to donate or separate or take? I'm trying to think of all the sort of the context.
The actual translation is to raise up. Uh-huh. And like the Yad Rama, his raised up hand, right? Or think of Romimu, right? Romimu Hashem, it's exalt or uplift Hashem. Mm-hmm. Another word that they, Kel Ram Venisa. Hashem is the God that is exalted, is lifted up, Venisa, and he's, carried above. So the word the harem really means to lift up, as and that either signifies separating or designating something like that.
Okay. All right. Okay, yeah, I see how that sort of that root propagates into other works that actually kind of sort of mix a few connections there. Mm. So, okay, thanks.
Sure, of course. Okay, thank you everybody for coming and wonderful evening, and we'll see you next week.
Right.
Okay, look forward to it.
Thanks. Yeah, sure. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Good night. Bye.